Matthew 28, verses 1 and 2. Now after the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to look at the grave. And behold, a severe earthquake had occurred, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled away the stone and sat upon it. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. How about take a look at this? You know, according to studies of first century tombs, the tomb was likely sealed by a 2,000-pound rolling stone that fit into a sloping track. Impossible for one individual to move, but in fact, it was not just any individual that did move the stone. Because Matthew clearly tells us that this stone was rolled away by an angel of the Lord. And actually, what was impossible was for a 2,000-pound stone to keep the Rock of Ages inside the tomb. Amen to that? Not going to do that. No. Also, what was impossible was this, from Acts 2:24. But God raised him up again, putting an end to the agony of death, since it was impossible for him to be held in its power. Why? Why was it impossible for Jesus to be held in the power of death? Well, do you remember what Jesus told Martha concerning the resurrection of her brother Lazarus? From John 11, 25 and 26, Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life, and he who believes in me will live even if he dies, and everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. That's the New American Standard. This is from the Amplified Version. Let's look at it again. I'll read it through again to get real specific here. Jesus said to her, I am myself the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in, and believe meaning adheres to, trusts in, relies upon me. Belief is not just a head thing. It's a heart thing. It's a whole person thing. He says, although he may die, yet he shall live. And whoever continues to live and believes in, that is, has faith in and cleaves to, relies on me, shall never actually die at all. Meaning in their spirit, that is. But again, there it is. Friends, the reason there is a resurrection at all is because there is the resurrection himself. Amen?
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. All right, let's take it further. The reason there is life for anyone is because there is someone who is himself the life. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is the way to God. He is the revealer of God, and he is the source of life. Mark it down. Jesus is the very source of life. He's even the source of breath. Really. You know, the prophet Daniel was once reminding a Babylonian king that God was supplying even the very breath he was breathing. So, hey, let's take a deep breath and let it out and thank Jesus for that.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord, for that breath and the next, the sustainer of life, even our very breath. And of course, Jesus himself is the very source of resurrection. Do you also remember what he told everyone about his death and resurrection? Well, Jesus gave everyone a little reality check about who was actually in charge of his life and even his own death in John 10, 18. Notice Jesus said, no one can take my life from me. Whoa. No one can take my life from me. I sacrifice it voluntarily. For I have the authority to lay it down when I want to, and also to take it up again. Oh my, is that absolutely wonderful? As well as unique to any human being that has ever lived. Well, yes, Jesus was informing them and the entire world that no one could ever kill him without his permission. Think about that. His death was going to be entirely voluntary. In fact, he would determine the time. He would determine the place. He would even determine the method of his own death. Oh, you say the method? Oh, yes. Before this even occurred, 1,000 years before this, Jesus' crucifixion, he had prophesied this through the Psalms. 1,000 years before it ever happened, even before crucifixion had even been invented, Jesus was in charge. He voluntarily gave his life for us. He came for that purpose, to die for you and for me, so that we wouldn't have to bear that penalty of sin. He did that for us, for you, for me. But still, although he chose to die, and even though he experienced death, since he was and is the very source of life, it was impossible for death to hold him. And so when it was time for him to walk out of that tomb in his resurrection body, an appointed angel of the Lord rolled the stone away. And the door of that tomb was opened, and Jesus came out. And behind that stone, behind that door of the tomb, behind it was the life. He was the very source of life. The life walked out. When the door opened, Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life, walked out. Now think about that. You know, there are two great doors in life. That door that stood in front of the tomb from which Jesus, the source of all life, walked out. And then there is another door. And this is the door that stands in front of every person's heart, every person's life, into which Jesus is seeking to walk through and into a person's heart and life. For you see, ever since Jesus walked out of that tomb, or walked through that door of the tomb, he has been trying to gain entrance into other tombs, into spiritual tombs. Well, what do we mean? Or what turned humans' hearts into spiritual tombs? The Apostle Paul clearly explains that for us in Ephesians 2, 1 through 6. Listen to this. He says, "You were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Among them, we too all formerly lived in the lust of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. But God," thank you for that, "but God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us," notice, "even when we were dead in trespasses," dead in our transgressions, "he made us alive together with Christ," and it's by grace you have been saved, "and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus." I just sense you feel like you want to say praise God, right? I just have felt it coming. You know, it's powerful. You're just sending it off. So praise God. Absolutely. But you see, Paul is first describing the actual condition of a human heart before Christ comes in to raise it up, or to resurrect, or to give new birth to the spirit of a person who is opening the door of their heart and life and to the Lord in repentance and faith. But the Scriptures make it crystal clear that without Christ in a person's life, he or she is spiritually dead. And their heart and life is a spiritual tomb. Why? Because they are dead in trespasses and sin. That's what sin did to the human spirit. And many people don't comprehend that or think about that. What sin did to the human spirit is that sin killed the human spirit. And so those without Christ are in desperate need of new life. In need of someone who possesses life, spiritual life, to come into their house, into their life, and raise their dead spirit up from the dead and give them new life. Bring new life into their heart and life, eternal life. And that someone is Jesus Christ. And that is why He is standing at their door knocking. Take a look. He's knocking. Jesus is coming. He went out of the tomb, and ever since, He's been going to spiritual tombs, knocking, knocking. Revelation 3:20. Jesus says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and will dine with him and he with me." You see, every person is a house. Every person here is a house. You're a person, your body, mind, soul, body, you are a house. And every person is a spiritual house. Every person without the Lord is a spiritual tomb, because a person is either a spiritual tomb because their spirit is still dead in trespass and sin, or they're a house that's been converted into a spiritual temple because they heard the Lord Jesus knocking and they asked Jesus to please come in. Come into their heart and life and be their Lord and Savior. And as Jesus comes in, the resurrected Savior raises up their dead spirit to new life in union with Him. His own spirit and His own life. And from then on, where once their body was a tomb that held their dead spirit, now it is a temple. This is a temple of the Spirit of Christ. And their spirit is eternally alive with Jesus, His own spirit. And even one day, their mortal body will be raised up into immortality as a resurrected body to dwell in God's house forever. And what are we to say about that? Well, I think of things like hallelujah, praise God, thank you, Jesus. You choose. I'll wait. I'll just wait. Yeah. I mean, we could go on and on with that for a while. Thank you, Lord. Raised us up. But friends, now think about it. Think about it. Isn't it a strange world in which we live? We declare these truths. We celebrate these truths. But what a strange world in which we live. After all, the Easter Sunday services are over. People will go back to their routines of life with people all around us going about their routines, with so many of them never realizing that they are going through life either as a tomb or a temple. Again, every person is either one or the other, a tomb or a temple. And plus, they do not realize that in front of every person's house is a door, or a stone door, we could say. And ever since Jesus walked through that door from His tomb, what He has been doing is that He's been knocking at all the doors of tombs, human tombs of people's houses, seeking to come in, waiting to be invited in. You know, we often call people who are searching for God, we call them seekers. And as such they are. But Jesus is the ultimate seeker. He is the ultimate seeker. He's the one who has been going house to house, door to door, knocking and waiting for them to open up their door to Him and ask Him to come in, and be their Lord and Savior. And something else so amazing about all of this is that although Jesus has the power to break the door down, He has the power to enter the house by force, still, He waits to be invited in. Just think about that. Jesus wants to be wanted. He wants to be wanted. And just like in His death for sinners, death for people, it was voluntary. So now He waits for each person to voluntarily choose Him and ask for new life, eternal life, that He's waiting and wanting to give to them. But Jesus Christ wants to be wanted, and so He waits. He waits for each person to open the door of their heart and life, and in repentance and faith, they ask Him to come in and forgive their sin and to raise up their dead spirit into new life with Him. Now, we mentioned that this door is also like a stone door. And actually, the longer a human heart stays closed to the Lord Jesus, the harder that door becomes, like stone. And the longer a human heart stays closed to the Lord, the harder it is to open, like that 2,000-pound stone in front of Jesus' tomb. And the harder that door becomes, the harder it is to hear Jesus knocking. You see, that's the danger of people putting off or neglecting opening the door of their life to Jesus. That's why the Apostle Paul told people, if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts, for today is the day of salvation. And so here's the question. When you walked in here today, did you come in as a temple or as a tomb? A temple or as a tomb? Oh, we trust that it was a temple and that you are here celebrating your risen Savior and the eternal life that you share with Jesus because you've opened that door of your heart and life and you asked Him to come in. Come into your life and forgive your sin and give you new life in union with Him. But if you're not sure, well, what better time than now on Resurrection Sunday to open the door to the Savior who's been knocking and waiting and ask Him, come in. Please come in. What better day? Oh my. As we have a time of prayer as we close, if you came here as a temple, since you've asked the Lord Jesus Christ into your life, well, you can spend a few moments thanking Jesus, thanking Him for forgiving your sin and raising up your dead spirit to new eternal life with Him. But friend, if you are not sure about that, well, we implore you to make sure. You see, you don't have to wonder if your spirit is still entombed, still dead in trespasses and sin. You don't have to leave here as a tomb. No, the resurrected Christ is right at your door, knocking. And He wants to come into your life even more than you would want Him to come into your life. Because that's just how much Jesus loves you. Oh my. That's how much He loves you. And so, You can spend a few moments just talking to Him in prayer. If you have any doubt, if you need to make sure that He's in your life. And you don't have to worry so much about what to say to Jesus. You just have to ask Him in to come into your heart and life and be your eternal Lord and Savior. And you see, when you do, when you ask Him to come in, He's been knocking, He's been waiting. When you ask Him to come in, here's the thing. He has already promised that He will. He's already promised that He will come in. He's been knocking. He's been waiting long enough. If you're not sure, this is the time to ask Him in. Let's have a time of prayer, and then I'll close. And you talk to the Lord. Thank Him for being in your life, or if you're not sure, ask Him, Lord Jesus, come into my life, please, and be my Lord and Savior. You pray, and we'll take time together here, and then I'll close.